Can I welcome you to Barkham Church today for our remote service? Barkham Church is not a building but a people, so we really appreciate you joining us today, whether you're a regular or perhaps listening in from further afield. My name's Michael Byrne and I'll be leading us through today's service. It will be good if you can see a service sheet and join in the parts in bold, even if you are listening in on your own. Over the summer we are preaching through a few of the Psalms, and today Julian, the minister of Barkham, will be taking us through Psalm 47. In a moment we're going to say what is effectively a New Testament psalm. These verses from Colossians 1, printed on the surface sheet, begin, "The Son is the image of the invisible God." Now I imagine that we've all seen a photograph of someone from our family that we've never met. Maybe you've got such a photo on display in a frame at home. Perhaps a grandparent or great-grandparent who died before you were born. Can you think of a picture like that? If you've got others with you, particularly young ones, you might like to pause now and talk about the picture and the person you're each thinking of. Well, that picture enables you to see what is otherwise invisible to you. Maybe you can see something of a family likeness. Well, Paul is saying that Jesus acts a bit like that photo with regard to God. Not in the way that a photo does in showing us what someone looks like, but showing us what God is like in character and what God is working to achieve in his world. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Let's now say these verses together. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Well, now I've got a quick categories quiz for us, but I won't be able to hear your answers, so you'll just have to mark yourself. I'm going to read out four sets of things, and for each set, I want you to work out what category that they're in. That is, what they have in common. So, for example, if I said cod, haddock, place, and so on, the category would be fish. There'll be five things in each set. As soon as you think you've worked out the category, put your hand up and keep it up unless you realise your category is wrong. It seems strange doing that at home. Just imagine you're at church with us. So here's the first one. Mars. Galaxy. Milky Way. Bounty. Twix. Well, hopefully you've worked out those are all chocolate bars. Here's the second set. Mercury. Tin, gold, magnesium, copper. Okay, they're all metals. How are you doing? Here's the third set. Mars, again. Mercury, Jupiter, Venus, Earth. Yep, they're all planets in our solar system. This last one's a bit harder. North, Castor, Aldebaran, Vega, Sirius. Well, they're all stars in the night sky. How did you do? Hopefully you got some before the end. Now that first set, the chocolate bars, are all man-made. That is, they've been made by people out of things that God made. But the other three sets are all things that God made entirely on his own. Or did he? Did you notice that those verses from Colossians tells us that all things were made through Jesus? God the Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit were all involved in creation. So our first song today, which is all about Jesus, is right to describe him as the author of creation, the one who made all those stars and planets. You might like to join in as we listen to this song now. Yet how silently you suffered that the guilty may go free. Jesus' death on the cross provided the way for guilty sinners like us to be forgiven. Some words from Jeremiah chapter 3. Return, faithless Israel, declares the Lord. I will frown on you no longer, for I am merciful, declares the Lord. I will not be angry for ever. Only acknowledge your guilt. You have rebelled against the Lord your God and have not obeyed me. May the Lord bring to each of our minds the ways in which we have sinned against him, and let's acknowledge that sin to him as we pray this prayer of confession together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Well, it's time now for our Bible reading. Rachel is going to bring that, then Julian will be up to preach.
Psalm 47. Come, everyone, clap your hands. Shout to God with joyful praise. For the Lord Most High is awesome. He is the great King of all the earth. He subdues the nations before us, putting our enemies beneath our feet. He chose the promised land as our inheritance, the proud possession of Jacob's descendants whom he loves. God has ascended with a mighty shout. The Lord has ascended with trumpets blaring. Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises to our King, sing praises. For God is the King over all the earth. Praise him with a psalm. God reigns above the nations, sitting on his holy throne. The rulers of the world have gathered together with the people of the God of Abraham. For all the kings of the earth belong to God. He is highly honoured everywhere.
Let's pray as we look at Psalm 47 together. Father, as we look at this psalm, we pray that you would help us to hear and listen to your voice and to respond with the obedience that comes from faith. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like you to look at the opening words of this psalm. Clap your hands. And just think, what makes you clap your hands with joy? You might think of a brilliant performance on the stage. Perhaps you've been to a concert or a theatre when everyone gets up on their feet to applaud at the end. Or maybe it's a sporting performance. It really makes me think of Wimbledon at the end of a long rally where the players have been running all over the court. Finally, someone hits the perfect winner and the crowd erupts. Or this year, we've had something a bit different. The clap for carers that happened every Thursday evening at 8 p.m. for 10 weeks. That was a way that people could say thank you to the NHS and other care workers. Thank you, it's fantastic the work that you do. It was quite something. And there was a certain amount of expectation that everyone should be out there joining in with the applause. Well, that is what is going on in this psalm. People are being called to join in with the applause, but the expectation is much bigger and it goes far wider. Psalm 47 calls all people everywhere to join in the praise of their exalted King. And that's our first point today. Give praise to your King. Give praise to your King. Look again at verse 1. Clap your hands, all you nations. Shout to God with cries of joy. All the people of the world are being told to put their hands together. People from every nation are called to join in with the applause that is directed to the living God. Why? Because of who he is in relation to them. Notice how the psalm keeps describing God as being lifted up high above everyone. Verse 2, he is the Lord Most High, the great King over all the earth. Verse 5, he has ascended. At the end of verse 9, he is greatly exalted. And his high position overall speaks of his authority overall. Verse 2, he is the great King over all the earth. Verse 7, he is King of all the earth. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. So the psalm keeps pointing us upward to the throne of God who reigns over all. And it calls us to join in the applause and the acclaim as we acknowledge that he reigns and he has the right to rule over our lives. There's a good example in the Old Testament of people applauding in that way. It's from the great story of Joash, the boy king, from 2 Kings 11. As soon as he was born, Joash was in great danger because of Athaliah, the mother of the previous king. She tried to murder all the heirs to the throne in order to take power for herself. But Joash was kept hidden with his nurse in the temple for 6 years while Athaliah reigned as queen. But then, when he was 7 years old, Jehoiada the priest organised many guards to surround the temple courts to protect him. And then he brought out 7-year-old Joash. He put the crown on him and proclaimed him as king. And as he did that, we read these words. They anointed him, and the people clapped their hands and shouted, "Long live the king!" Now you can hear the echo of Psalm 47 verse 1. But do you see what they were doing? They were saying, "He is our rightful king. Despite other rivals to the throne, he is the one God has chosen to reign over us." They were proclaiming their loyalty to the one who'd been proclaimed as God's king. Now this goes right to the heart of the Christian message today, because the gospel, the message about Jesus, is a proclamation that Jesus is Lord, that he is the one who God has enthroned as king. For that reason, that the church has traditionally used Psalm 47 on Ascension Day, the day we remember how Jesus, after his resurrection, ascended to heaven to be enthroned at the right hand of the Father. So, as we read it, Jesus fulfills the words of this psalm very clearly. Jesus is Lord Most High, verse 2. Jesus has ascended, verse 5, and is greatly exalted, verse 9. But the challenge of the psalm also carries over, because it asks us, will we join in the applause? Will we give him our loyalty and praise him as our king? The things we praise say a lot about us. If you tell me the things that get you on your feet, clapping and cheering, you're telling me a lot about what matters to you and what you admire and what excites you and where your loyalties are. Now, possibly you're more restrained in how you express your praise, but the objects of your admiration, your loyalty, will still be there. Well, the Bible says there is one thing above all, one person who deserves and demands our praise, because he is above all, and that is our ascended King, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is on the throne. He deserves all praise. Will we join in? Not simply saying God is great, that we like Jesus and what he stands for, but acknowledging him as the one who reigns over us. That is the big challenge of this psalm. Give praise to your King. But one of the great things about the Bible is the way it doesn't just tell us to praise God and give him our loyalty. It also gives us good reasons why we should do so. It shows us what God is like and why he's worthy of our praise and devotion. We see two reasons in this psalm. The first involves looking back. So see his faithfulness to his people. That's the next point. See his faithfulness to his people. In the next part of the psalm, we look back in Israel's history. You see, God had this remarkable relationship with the nation of Israel. There was nothing about them that was better than any other nation, but God had graciously chosen this family of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to belong to him. He'd made promises to them, pledging himself to them, that he would be their God, that he would bless them, and that he would bring them to the land he'd promised. Now, there were times when that seemed impossible, when they were enslaved in Egypt, or when they turned away from him in the wilderness. And yet, always he remained faithful to his promises. And verses 3 to 5 pick up part of that story as they entered the promised land and faced various hostile nations. We're told, verse 3, "He subdued nations under us, peoples under our feet. He chose our inheritance for us, the pride of Jacob, whom he loved. God has ascended amid shouts of joy, the Lord amid the sounding of trumpets." It says what happened when God gave his people victory over far mightier nations than them, so that he might give them the land, the inheritance that he had promised hundreds of years before. And verse 5 recalls a climactic moment in 2 Samuel 6, a few years later, when God's choice of king, David, has been crowned as king. And what David does is he brings the Ark of the Covenant, that symbol of God's commitment to his people, to his capital in Jerusalem. And we're told they brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts and the sound of trumpets. So the psalm points us back, saying, see how God has been faithful. See how he's protected us and provided for us and brought us to his land and exalted his king. And this message about God's faithfulness stands true today. For in Jesus Christ, we meet a God who is always faithful to his people. If we're Christians, it's not because there's anything special about us. Rather, God graciously chose us to belong to him. He pledged himself to us, setting his love upon us. We see that love chiefly as we look at the cross. For there we see how he laid down his life for us when we didn't deserve it. And we experience his faithfulness in his promises to forgive us, his promise that he's always with us, that he'll never leave us. And also in his promise of our future inheritance in the new creation. The church is like an advert for God's faithfulness. When people look at the church, they should see people who know that they are loved, who know that they're secure in God's hands, who know that they're never alone and know their future is certain, not because of anything special about them, but purely because of the faithfulness of God. Now, that raises a question for us. Do our lives and our relationships reflect that faithfulness? But for anyone who is not a believer, one of the best things they can do is talk to Christians about their experience of God. Perhaps especially those who've been through really hard times. And again, you'll hear the same story. God has been faithful. God has been faithful. And as believers, we should be ready to tell that story. So there's the first reason to give praise to your king. Why? Because of his faithfulness to his people. But before we get to the second reason, we've got another emphatic appeal for us to praise him, albeit one that is frustrating at the moment. See verse 6. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing to him a psalm of praise. I think one of the hardest things about the current restrictions we're living with is that we can't sing when we gather. Now, why is that? Not many of us really have voices that you'd want to write home about. So why are we so bothered about singing? Well, the Bible would say that we are made to worship God, not just to know him, but to praise him, to give him the glory he deserves, because he is worthy of all praise. So if we find it strange not to sing when we're at church, in a way, that's a good sign. It shows we understand why we're here. But again, this is a call for everyone to praise him. Once again, everyone is being urged to join in the applause with all their hearts. And this brings us to the second reason given for praising him, which involves now looking forward. See God blessing the nations. See God blessing the nations. We've already seen God's special love for his people, his faithfulness. But now we see the scope of his love and his plans and how that extends to all people. Verse 8, God reigns over the nations. God is seated on his holy throne. The nobles of the nations assemble as the people of the God of Abraham. For the kings of the earth belong to God. He is greatly exalted. This takes us back to the promises that God first made to Abraham. Because although he promised to bless him and make him into a great nation, he also promised that all nations on earth would be blessed through him. Abraham and the nation of Israel were to be a source of blessing to the whole world. Now, in the Old Testament, we saw that fulfilled only sporadically in the lives of some people. But when Jesus comes as God's promised Saviour and King, he comes as the Saviour of the world. As we've seen in the book of Acts recently, Jesus tells his disciples to preach the gospel to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, so that anyone, Jew or Gentile, anyone who puts their faith in him will inherit the blessings promised to Abraham, receiving all the blessings of salvation. Perhaps verse 9 makes us think of the vision in the book of Revelation, where people are singing praises to Jesus, the Lamb of God, because they say, "You were slain, and with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation." And we're told in heaven there's a great multitude taken from every nation. Now the psalm points us forward to that wonderful vision that should make us praise God to see how his saving plans extend to all people. Now actually, nearly all of us are Gentiles, so we should praise him that he has extended his mercy to us. But the psalm should also give us a fresh enthusiasm for God's mission, an enthusiasm we often lack. The thought of being involved in evangelism or mission can leave us feeling cold or awkward. We act like the gospel is the last thing that anyone we know would ever want to hear. I don't know if you've had this experience, but I can remember occasions over the years where I've even started conversations saying things like, "Look, I know you're probably not interested in this, and I know you probably don't want to hear what the Bible says." But this psalm wakes us up to what wonderful, joyful news we have to proclaim. John Piper puts it like this. He says, "If it's true that God created the world so that he would receive glad-hearted worship from all the peoples of the world, then mission is the summoning of people to be glad in God. This is a happy enterprise. Yes, it's strewn with suffering and deep disappointment when many say no to the invitation, but what a privilege to announce to the nations the best news in the world. What an honour to summon them to joy." And that's Psalm 47. That's this psalm. It calls all people to find joy in praising our God and King, the one who is on the throne. So let's take it to heart. Let's join in the loyal applause to our King with cries of joy, praising him above all else, giving glory to our faithful God. And let's be glad to call others to praise him too, that they might discover the joy of his salvation, and so that all the glory would go to him. Well, let's pray. Our Father, we praise you for Jesus, our risen Lord and Saviour, and we pray that you would help us to see him more clearly, that we might praise him as we should. We thank you for your great love and your faithfulness to us, and we praise you for the gospel that is good news for all people. So please would you make us joyful witnesses to Jesus, that you might graciously draw others to find every blessing in him. For we ask it in his name. Amen.
For God is the King of all the earth. Isn't he worth believing in? Will you believe in him? You might like to stand as we affirm our faith in the words of this creed. I'll ask the questions. Please join in with the answers in bold. Do you believe in God? We believe in God the Father, who made us and all the world. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to this earth to be our Saviour. He died for our sins on the cross, rose again from the dead, ascended to the Father in heaven, and will come again in his glory as the judge of all people. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? We believe in the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to all who trust in Christ. He makes us more like Jesus, guides and strengthens us in our daily life, and helps us to serve God in the family of the Church. Well, Rose is now going to lead us in our prayers.
Hello, everyone. This is Rose leading the prayers. We're going to be praying for Open Doors, our mission partner, and for various other events and situations. So let's remember the psalm that we heard last week, Psalm 46, as we begin our prayers. Let's pray. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. We praise you, our Heavenly Father, that you are ruling over and in control of all that is happening in this world, and we can be confident and courageous, even in the midst of chaos, when it feels as though our world has been turned upside down. Father, we pray for those who are facing uncertainty over future plans following the A-level results and the disruption to university courses due to coronavirus. We pray for those looking for work or facing job insecurity and financial or health worries. Please remind them of your command not to be anxious, but to come quickly to you in prayer with thanksgiving, and also of your wonderful promise to guard their hearts and minds with your peace in Christ. Please grow our trust in your sovereign goodness, knowing that you want the very best for your people, and that you are able to achieve all your good plans for us. We pray for our government to be willing to consult with leaders in education and public health as they make decisions and plans for the autumn. Please give them your wisdom and send them godly advisers. We pray in Jesus' name. The psalm goes on to say, "The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress." Heavenly Father, we pray for Open Doors and their partners in many countries where Christians are persecuted for believing in Jesus. Thank you for the courage they show in the face of severe opposition. We thank you for Pastor Anto in Indonesia, having the courage to reach out to a people group which had never heard the gospel after he had attended the seminar Standing Strong Through the Storm. Please make his outreach fruitful. May many come to know and follow Jesus. We pray for your protection on those Open Doors partners who take God's word into places where the Bible is banned and who help to provide relief aid, livelihood support, education and medical care to Christians who are excluded from government help. Please prosper and multiply these programs. We pray for Christians who are in prison for their faith in countries like North Korea, Iran, Eritrea, and Central Asia. Please, Father, help them to persevere and grow in their love for Jesus. May they see others come to faith in Jesus through their witness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Almighty God, our fortress, thank you for answering our prayers for John Wall and for Charlie Bidgood following their recent admissions to hospital. Please now bring healing and renewed strength in body, mind and spirit. Please sustain those in our church family who've been struggling with the heat, and we thank you for the refreshing rain and cooler temperatures. Please bless those who are away on holiday with physical and spiritual refreshment. And also, would you sustain those who cannot go away? may we all share David's confidence in Psalm 46 that the Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's join together now in saying the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We've prayed, your kingdom come. God has established his king. He has ascended his throne amid shouts of joy. Let's be full of praise as we sing, to God be the glory. Well, thanks for joining us today. I do hope that you have been encouraged as we have virtually gathered together to worship the Lord Jesus, and that you have seen more of his glory and are looking forward even more to that purer and higher and greater worship when Jesus returns and we see him face to face. Do remember that we now have live services again at 10 a.m. or 6 p.m. if you are ever able to join us. It would be great to see you. Let's finish though by joining together in the grace. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.